The Tom Woods Show, episode 2083.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, I don't know about you, but I am running into a lot of progressives saying, look, police, fire, schools, these are all great examples of socialism. Well, let's focus on that school example. I've got a free ebook called Education Without the State that makes a pretty darn good case for a stateless approach to education. Pick it up at nostateeducation.com.
Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here. Just a short little episode to wrap up the week. A reminder to those of you listening on YouTube, I cannot post most of the really juicy episodes there anymore because of the threats I've been getting from YouTube. So look for another platform if you want to hear the episodes that are in the gaps between the numbers. TomWoods.com/vid. You can watch on, and there's nothing to watch really, but you can listen on Odyssey. And of course, you could use Stitcher or any of the usual podcast apps, or you can listen to the episodes at TomsPodcast.com. That's another possibility. Anyway, I can put this one on YouTube though, even though it is saying something that runs rather counter to what's going on. This is just a short episode where I'm thinking out loud about things that are bothering me. And what's bothering me right now, and yes, I know there are worse things in the world, okay? I know there are worse things in the world. I know that Yemen is worse. I know that if I were living in Ukraine right now, I probably would be pretty unhappy. I understand that. But just because there are worse things doesn't mean you can't talk about something else. And incidentally, sometimes I run into people who say, you know, I really am a terrible person because I'm dwelling on my problems. And so many people have it so much worse, like in the developing world, for example. But okay, but just because there's a developing world doesn't mean you're not allowed to have problems. You know, there is always going to be some people who are doing much, much worse than you. That doesn't mean you don't have problems. Okay, so anyway, I'm thinking about what's going on in the Russia situation, and it's starting to accumulate to a point where I don't think people realize where this could go in the future. So, for example, the search engine DuckDuckGo just announced that it's going to be pushing what it considers to be Russian disinformation way down in the search results. Now, that sounds to me like Google. And you may say, oh, but Russian, you wouldn't say this, of course, but some people might. Russian disinformation is so dangerous that we need to take extraordinary measures against it and this and that. Okay, so we're going to trust people who run a search engine to discriminate for us between reliable information and so-called Russian propaganda. Well, I bet saying there are no WMDs in Iraq was considered Iraqi propaganda. Were we not allowed to see those search results? Do you see what the problem is here? That this is going to stop with Russia. This is going to be used for all kinds of issues where we're outside of the mainstream. And that's going to be disinformation. It's going to be buried in the search results. But some people are so caught up in what's going on in Ukraine that they can't think 10 minutes ahead about what this means for us. And it's not good news. So it means, I think it means try to avoid DuckDuckGo at this point. And instead, now I have not tested this out myself, but I am being told there is a reasonable alternative to both Google and DuckDuckGo, and that the auxiliary benefit of it is that it's run by kind of like our people, so to speak. And that is presearch.org, presearch.org. So check that out, play around with it, see what you think. But if you're unhappy about what's going on with the other search engines, you might as well at least take that one for a spin. And I think this is one of the differences between red and blue-pilled libertarians, is that a blue-pilled libertarian will look at what DuckDuckGo is doing and say, this is a great market response to Russian aggression. Isn't this wonderful, the way the market all comes together? Okay, all right, but I think you'd be pretty tone deaf to draw that as the conclusion after everything you've observed, particularly over the past couple of years, in the way dissidents have been demonized and in the way COVID was handled and completely reasonable people with plenty of evidence were pushed out to the fringes or had their voices taken away, and to think, oh, well, but this response, this is great because it's a way of stopping Russian aggression. It's not going to do anything to stop Russian aggression. Not one thing. But it will acclimate people to the idea that Some issues are just too important to allow alternative opinions to be heard. And by the way, again, what constitutes Russian disinformation? When you go on Twitter and you talk to people, you're dealing with people who are such automatons that they really think if you have a different opinion on almost any issue, you're probably some kind of Russian bot. Like if you have a different opinion on climate change or what the response to it should be, then you're probably some kind of Russian infiltrator or something like that. They cannot conceive of the possibility that you've assessed the evidence and drawn a conclusion. People are called Russian bots and agents of Russia all the time. And it's so embarrassing. Anybody who says that is so stupid looking. You know, he's an agent of Putin or whatever. Okay, well, nobody is. Okay, basically nobody. Nobody's getting checks from him any more than we're shills for the Koch brothers or any of that stuff. Okay, this is all extremely low IQ. You think these people would have any hesitation in cheering the downgrading of other search results that are far more ambiguous and are far less clearly, quote unquote, Russian propaganda? Russian propaganda could be, I think NATO needs to make some concessions. Now, you may think that is a preposterous thing to say. Okay, let's suppose it is a preposterous thing to say. Why can't I say it? And then you may say, oh, well, DuckDuckGo is a private company and this and that. Yeah, it is, but that's really, really tone deaf because you look at where this is all going and it's not going to end up with an outcome that a sensible libertarian wants. Not to mention, we've seen the federal government put pressure on various big tech outlets to crack down further on censorship or to report to them on misinformation being spread on their sites. This is part of a big picture. So what typically happens with so-called blue-pilled libertarians is that they refuse to look at that big picture. They look at each issue in isolation and say, why, this is a perfectly cogent libertarian response. Okay, well, they'll be saying that inside the gulag at some point. Okay, so I don't cheer something like this. And I think people searching for alternatives to DuckDuckGo is the market responding. That's the market responding. And then, of course, we've seen all these different services be shut down in Russia, services that people use to conduct ordinary transactions and to live normal lives have been shut down. Okay, well, this hurts ordinary people. That's just no question about that. And no matter what you do, no matter what the screws you turn on people with sanctions, it's hard to find a big bunch of examples of them then overthrowing the regime. What very often happens is they rally to the regime because they feel like they're being treated absurdly. But to me, what's more significant about this is that this is going to give companies ideas in the future. If you have the wrong opinion, you could easily see it's going to be way easier because there would be far more precedents for them to take your services away because you belong to some group or because you did or said something. This is going to give them ideas for the future. Now, I might not have said this 50 years ago, because 50 years ago, the context was different. But after living through the past 2 years, you realize that everything they're given, they're going to turn against you. And the people listening to this recording right now are among the most hated in the country by the regime, and among the most hated by the opinion molders and all of fashionable opinion. You think they're not going to look at this as a precedent? And incidentally, wartime has often served as precedent for later things. I mean, fascism itself in Italy basically grew out of the World War I experience. That look, in World War I, no matter what dialect you spoke or what region of Italy you came from, whether you were Sicilian or Piedmontese, we all banded together to fight against the enemy. And so if we did that during wartime, then we should all band together as a collective in peacetime. Okay, you see the precedent there. Or the New Deal. The New Deal took some of the precedents of the organization of the World War I wartime economy and applied them to peacetime. And of course, the whole philosophy of the New Deal was we planned in war, why can't we plan in peace? So war, it sets precedents for the future. By the way, a pet peeve of mine is the letter T in the word often is silent. Unless you're in the UK, or sometimes if you're reading poetry. But I was at an event the other day, and somebody was there whose every action triggers me. And this person said, that doesn't happen very often. And for some reason, I wanted to just throw the whole table over. So I'm just letting you know. Like, do you think we're all just mispronouncing it? Is what I wanted to ask you. You think we're all mispronouncing it? We don't see the T in it? You know, anyway, sorry. I'm recording this early in the morning, and my filter for filtering out pet peeves that I probably shouldn't put on the recording is still slumbering. All right, let's talk about whataboutism. This is a word that some blue-pilled libertarians like to use. Whataboutism is there's something bad going on, and one of us will say, yeah, but what about such and such? Isn't that also bad? And this really annoys the blue-pilled libertarian. Well, the regime has told us, though, to focus on this thing over here. Why are you whatabouting it? Why don't you face it head on? But yet, I think so-called whataboutism is extremely important because I want to get to the bottom of what's the motivation behind the Ukraine hysteria. Yeah, nobody wanted Russia to invade Ukraine. Okay, I agree with that. But it's also true that there have been unbelievable atrocities going on around the world over the past 20 years, and even more recently than that with what's been going on in Yemen, that really has not generated this response. And it's perfectly reasonable to raise that point, because if those things didn't generate that response, then it can't be that the explanation for this is just this very super developed moral sense on the part of the establishment in America. That can't be, because if they just had this extremely sensitive moral sense, then it would have been triggered by all these other things. That is an extremely valid point. I would consider it bizarre for somebody not to want to talk about that. Well, what is really going on here? What's happened in Yemen is much, much worse from a humanitarian standpoint than so far what's happened in Ukraine, as bad as it is. What's happened in Yemen is indisputably worse, and yet nothing. Now, how about that? How about that? People didn't put Yemen's flag on their social media avatars. They didn't drop all else to talk about it. They didn't demonize people who had different opinions. I bet a majority of Americans barely know that anything's going on in Yemen. So why is that not a legitimate question? Why is it that we're only to be outraged at the things that the CIA wants us to be outraged about? And I pointed this out. I'm in a number of social media groups pertaining to various topics, and one of them is metal music. And a couple of metal musicians, I guess somebody written an article about them saying, oh my goodness, it's so terrible what's going on in Ukraine. And I said, all right, look, we all get that. What are these two people adding to the conversation? They're just letting us all know that they also hold the opinion that everybody holds. I mean, what is the point of that? It would be way, way better if they would occasionally take an opinion that is not shared by Hillary Clinton and Mitch McConnell. I mean, once in a while, people who were supposed to be rebels, right? This is metal music, right? Sometimes it's harsh and rough and supposed to be anti-establishment and we're different. Well, we're not that different, is what they're basically saying. We're not that different. Don't worry, we still take our cues from Hillary Clinton. I mean, don't anybody panic here. So I said, why do you suppose that not a peep out of the metal community? By the way, I don't need a peep out of these people. I'm not impressed with them, by and large, in their political views. I don't care what they think. I know what they think on everything. But just to balance things out, I said, wouldn't it be nice if these people could say a word about the Yemen situation? Why didn't they say anything about that, but they say something about this? Could it be that the establishment and the military interest and the political classes that the metal community shills for 24 hours a day are responsible for what's going on in Yemen and therefore not a peep? Could it be that? Because that's not particularly flattering. So I think it's absolutely legitimate to ask, where have you been? And why do you put such and such flag in your avatar only when it appears politically safe to do so? How many of these places put the Iraqi flag in their avatar? How many people did that when the U.S. attacked them and used the shock and awe campaign? I would say zero, probably zero. How many companies stopped doing business with the United States? Zero. What do we conclude from this? And yes, I know that you could say, but see, the U.S., though, had a rationale. You know, they, you know, these WMDs. Yeah, and the Russians have a rationale. You keep surrounding our country. Okay, so both sides have arguments. The question is, do the arguments hold water? And the U.S. argument obviously did not hold water. And understand, almost no country is ever going to say, we're invading this other country because we want to extend our influence. It's always going to be some story. Oh, they've got these weapons, or oh, they have a bad human rights record and all that. Okay, it's always going to be that. It's always going to be that. So to say, well, the U.S. case was a little bit better because they were worried about weapons. Okay, but the U.S. is never going to say, we're invading this country because of X and Y geopolitical reason. They're always going to BS you. And that's another reason for the importance of whataboutism. That if people are really, really shedding crocodile tears about democracy, then why do they consider it so much morally better to get their oil from Saudi Arabia than Russia? I mean, come on. That is why whataboutism is important. Is we have to talk about these things. Now, of course, it would have been extremely unfashionable and very unwelcome for people to wave the Iraqi flag during that atrocity. So therefore, they didn't. That's basically what it boils down to. It's not fashionable. It's not being pressed on them by every avenue of allowable opinion. And so they don't do it. But yet, the blood of Iraqis runs as red as the blood of a Ukrainian. So yeah, I'm going to commit the unforgivable crime of whataboutism. All right, I have a lot more on my mind, but let me stop to point out that with the healthcare system being the way it is, it's not exactly a surprise that 30 million Americans choose to just go uninsured and take their chances. I totally understand that decision. But at the same time, to some extent, you are nevertheless still rolling the dice if you exercise that option. But thanks to today's sponsor, CrowdHealth, you don't have to choose between rolling the dice or paying through the nose for some peace of mind. CrowdHealth isn't health insurance, and that's why it works. With insurance, you pay huge premiums for high deductibles, which means on top of the thousands you pay to keep your plan, you end up paying thousands more before insurance kicks in a cent. CrowdHealth gives you a new way to pay for healthcare. And it's really simple how it works. You pay one low monthly total to fund your account and get access to the CrowdHealth community. That's less than $200 a month for most people. You'll pay the first $500 of a health event. The rest gets submitted to the CrowdHealth community members for funding. And unlike insurance, you're not limited by doctor networks when looking for care. It totally reverses the vicious incentives that got the healthcare system into this mess in the first place. Well, ready for a better way to pay for healthcare? Join the crowd. Right now, you can get your first 6 months for just $99 per month. That's almost 50% off the normal price and a lot less than a high deductible healthcare plan. Just go to joincrowdhealth.com and use promo code WOODS at sign up. That's joincrowdhealth.com, promo code WOODS. CrowdHealth is not health insurance. It's a totally different way of paying for healthcare. Terms and conditions may apply. And then, of course, the conflation of peoples and regimes is a major problem. This is why I never say, we did such and such to some country, because you and I didn't. You and I had nothing to do with it. It's not we, it's they. It's the regime. They are separate from us. It is a weird Rousseauian left-wing idea that the people and the state are just indistinguishable from each other and that we can legitimately say we. And likewise, what's been happening is the demonization of Russian people. Now, Russian people are not responsible for what's going on in Ukraine. And certainly, Russian people living in the United States are not responsible. And yet, the stories coming out of discrimination and demonization are off the charts. And if the thing is, if this were happening to Muslims after 9/11, we would never hear the end of it. Or if it were happening to other favored, you know, official victim groups, we would never hear the end of it. But apparently you are supposed to demonize Russians. That is the message we're getting. You are supposed to demonize them. Nobody's going to tut-tut you for that. So in sophisticated New York City, there was an article in the New York Times saying that Russian restaurants are getting pummeled, that they're getting devastated on online review sites. Whatever. And by the way, I already know what the blue pilled are going to say. Oh, people are getting bad restaurant reviews. That's just as bad as being invaded. That's why you're blue pilled, because you can't see past this. Okay, because you can't appreciate that this is also significant. So there are reservations down 60%, some of them vandalized. We read this headline, Montreal Symphony Orchestra drops Russian piano prodigy from concerts amid backlash. We read from BBC Music Magazine. Cardiff Philharmonic replaces the program of its upcoming All Tchaikovsky concert, citing it as, quote, inappropriate at this time. What does Tchaikovsky have to do with anything? Then I read this. At 3 p.m. EST, the Canadian Junior Hockey League will announce that Russian and Belarusian 16 and 17-year-old children will be banned from the upcoming draft. What? Now, again, I realize this is not the greatest atrocity in the history of the world, but it's happening. And again, it's an example of selective outrage. If this were being done to Muslims or other such groups, we would never hear the end of it. But the regime really, really doesn't want you to like Russians. And so, of course, it calls to mind Woodrow Wilson being the origin of all evil, the inflation you're enduring right now, and this. Let's recall that he pathetically tried to claim that the U.S. had no problem with the German people, just the German government. But come on, he was president of Princeton. He had to know it wasn't going to work out that way. German Americans were harassed and demonized. And just as today, symphony orchestras refused to perform works by, in this case, Beethoven and other German-speaking composers. In many states, it became illegal to teach German in schools. And in two states, it was illegal to speak German in public or on the telephone. German language books were burned, disloyal professors were dismissed, and sauerkraut was renamed Liberty Cabbage. All stupid, all dehumanizing, because their regime is unhappy with our regime and vice versa. So therefore, all the people who, with basically very little control over their regime, now they all need to be demonized. This is extremely anti-libertarian. You know, strictly speaking, renaming sauerkraut Liberty Cabbage is not a violation of the non-aggression principle, but it's dumb. And there are some things you shouldn't do, even if they don't violate the non-aggression principle, because you are undermining the cause of international understanding. So you shouldn't do that. And this is happening like crazy, and it's nobody really cares because these people seem to deserve it. Or the other day, I heard on the news somebody saying, you know, this, because I guess the Russians were talking about bio-warfare and the possibility that NATO and Ukraine might launch it. And the news person was saying, well, that's just a typical Russian strategy, Russian response. You know, that's a typical Russian redirection to take what they themselves wanted to do and impose it on others and attribute it to others. Now, I guess it's okay to say that. I mean, I'm not going to make a big deal out of this, but could you imagine somebody on television saying, that is typical African manipulation. You know, those Africans, they're always manipulating you. You know, could you imagine that being said? I can't. So look, the Russian people are not the Russian government. The American people are not the American government. There's no we here. And the only them there is are the people in the Russian regime calling the shots. That's it. That is the key insight people need to foster international understanding at a time like this. Unrelated, but yet of the same spirit, I got an email today responding to what I had written in my newsletter the other day. You got to get on my newsletter, tomwoods.com, sign me up button at the top of the page. You got to do that. Anyway, I had written that it's just not true that Woodrow Wilson regretted establishing the Fed the way some libertarians think. He did not. He was proud of the Fed. That's a fake quotation. So that's false. And then secondly, it's also not true that JFK was assassinated because he was heroically trying to resist the Fed. He was not. And you can see this explained. Oddly enough, all the people who try to tell me this are people who read G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. And they love that book. But that book also denies that JFK had any big design to undermine the Fed and that this is all a misunderstanding. They just didn't read that part or something. I don't know. And so I was speculating, why would people be so eager to think that Woodrow Wilson was regretting creating the Fed and JFK was heroically resisting it and all that? I think it's because it's a lot more comforting to live in a world where there really were heroic presidents looking out for the interests of the people. It's not as comforting to realize they're all in on it and you and I are on our own. But we can't believe in these comforting myths. So I wrote this in my newsletter. Somebody wrote to me and said, I was so sure you were wrong. I pulled out my copy of Creature from Jekyll Island and I looked up JFK and lo and behold, you were right. Griffin does say that. So I had been going around thinking the opposite. And so I have amended my thinking on this question. And I wrote back and said, I appreciate you. I said, thank you for standing up for truth and integrity. There are about 11 of us left. Anyway, there are more than 11 of us, but a vastly disproportionate number of those people still committed to the truth are to be found where? In the Tom Woods Show Elite, which is my private group that people rave about and that will keep you sane in a world that hates you. Boy, do they hate you. And boy, do they not want you to be able to express your opinion. It's Russian disinformation, no matter what you say. No matter what you say. If you're concerned about any COVID matter, that's probably Russian disinformation. You know, you got to get out of that. You just for your mental health, you got to get out of that. And so hop into my group. It's one of the many perks you get when you support the Tom Woods Show. And if you think the Tom Woods Show is worthy of support, then head over to supportinglisteners.com and I'll see you inside that group. Thanks for listening.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.